reported an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, big story of the day. There was a lot that came from that USC-Washington game. Just a crazy, crazy offensive game. I mean, 52-42. USC has given up 101 total points in the past two games. That's probably going to do her. That's going to cost you some jobs. Defensive coordinator Alex Grinch was relieved of his duties, according to the Trojans head coach Lincoln Riley. He was Oklahoma's defensive coordinator from 2019 to 21 before leaving for USC to be alongside Riley. And rough go. Rough game for USC. That was Washington's the real deal, though. Back and forth. And then finally, take advantage of a turnover, whatever, and Washington's able to pull away. Another portion of this story was Caleb Williams, quarterback for USC, and obviously touted as the number one pick coming up in the NFL draft, was obviously upset. Emotionally upset. Showing big emotions. Runs up to the stands where his family was, his mom was, and just proceeds to really let it out. Crying like crazy. Again, so much emotion. His mom's like covering up his face with something that she had so you couldn't see it. So he's hanging off of kind of the front, you know, the front row of the stadium. He's like hanging off of it, hugging on his mom and just bawling his eyes out. And I had tweeted, you know, hey, I love his passion. I love, you know, a lot of things about this guy, but just kind of left it at that. Is that a good look? Is that a good look to be just so obviously in this sobbing nature going off after the game? I get it. I've seen, watch March Madness and tell me guys don't cry. You always see student athletes devastated after they lose games. And especially, you know, again, March Madness, you see it probably more than anything. You see these young student athletes crying when they're eliminated from the tournament. I have no problem with athletes showing emotion. I have no problem with tears. I'm not, like, it's not a macho take or anything. I guess my issue is that moment became larger. And again, he's Caleb Williams. He already is larger than the team. The optics of it, Angel, I just wasn't nuts about it. Wasn't crazy about the guy just jumping up on the stadium or you know, on the side of the seats there and just throwing it out. I would have rather just see him stay on the bench crying it out and then maybe have that moment with his family a little bit later on. That's my take. It probably sounds really calloused and barbaric.
Maybe a little.
Really? So you have no problem with it?
I don't. I mean, I agree with your points that this is not something this is not like some rare thing that happens in sports. We see these are human beings. These are young men that go through hell trying to get ready for a football game that we just pop on our TV. But these guys put in so many hours of work and practice and physical, mental toughness it takes to play this game. And, you know, I would be hard pressed to say anybody couldn't go through something like that. And then if their mother was right there to hold them, they wouldn't go falling into their arms. Because when I was an athlete, I did that multiple times where either I had a good race, bad race, whatever. It was knowing I had my support right there at the end of the race to be there. I think Caleb Williams is an interesting person as a player. He's had a lot of just weird controversies with his career, you know, the fingernails and, you know, the NFL draft stuff. And that's kind of shed a negative light on him a little bit as you start, as you know, projected number one overall pick, you start picking out little things that you don't like, little things that you do like. This I didn't really have an issue with. It does it take away from Washington's effort and Michael Penix Jr., what he's doing this year? Maybe, but it's also the Heisman front runner versus the defending Heisman champ. the defending champ lost, but he had an emotional moment afterwards. We didn't really see much from Penick, so you could see it like way, like maybe he's trying to take spotlight away. I don't really get that. It's college football and the media we have now. It's they're going to film everything, and they're going to try to make a story out of what they can.
Well, and on the, it's not like his mom was there on the field. She was up in the stands, and then he had to go over to her, obviously, and jump up there. And so it wasn't like she was just there and he collapsed into her. And I get it. That game knocked him out. You know, they're not going to probably, I mean, I guess there's still a shot. They play Oregon. They play Oregon this weekend. So you could beat Oregon and jump up, get the tiebreaker. So it, the other thing, too, is like that wasn't like it was over. I mean, they are 5-2 in the conference. Oregon's 5-1 in the conference. You beat Oregon, you're right there. Now, it's hard. It's easier said than done.
Two lost teams don't have a solid chance of getting in the playoff. At this point, with 7 or 8 still undefeated.
But if you get in and beat Washington in the championship game?
That just gives you a reason not to put Washington in.
So I understand the, you know, how big of a loss that actually was. I do get that. My thing is, and then just a little side note, you know, RG3 had tweeted out Bo Nix crying on the sidelines, which I have no issue with that. To me, it's like just the difference of going to the side, you know, going up onto the up into the crowd and doing that. That's the difference. And RG3 had tweeted out the picture of Bo Nix doing that and saying, man, the passion, the emotion and all that. Well, Caleb Williams retweeted it with LOL. So that paired with this, because I remembered that. As soon as he's up there crying, I was like, wait, didn't he kind of make fun of Bo Nix for doing it? So I didn't, like, sitting alone on the bench is, that's different. Sitting there with a teammate crying and all that. I personally look at it and go, man, this is a guy that says he wants to be a part owner of who he gets drafted by. A guy that's saying he will go back to college if he doesn't like the team that's getting ready to draft him. And then he shows this extra emotion. I'm not that callous guy. I wasn't that dude. I don't really cry. But I can see why if your parents are down there and it's, but it's not even like the last game of the season. You know, where was USC ranked before that game, Angel? I think they were,
like bottom 20.
Yeah. So they weren't going to be playing in the playoffs.
I don't think it was necessarily, oh, our playoff chances are gone, I'm going to just start crying. I think it was more, that was a absolute battle of a game between these two Heisman contenders, between these two powerful offenses. And you see this in sports, you can give it your all, and sometimes the other guy just wins. And that can just be tough to handle. And for a guy like Caleb Williams, he's had a lot of success in college football, and I would have to look, but I don't know if he's had a game where it's kind of been this back and forth and 5-6 touchdowns each. Like, that's a war.
Oh, it was. It was a crazy game. This is your quarterback. This is your guy. This is your leader. And this is the guy that's going to lead a bunch of grown freaking dudes next year. Like I said a million times, I don't mind seeing a guy on the bench after the game, head and hands, like Bo Nix was doing. To me, the extra step was I'm going to jump into the stands and there's my mom and I'm going to completely let it out. Is it the end of the world? Is that the big red flag that you should be looking at for his stock and all? No. The red flag is that he wants to own the team that he's going to. I think that Caleb Williams is an amazing quarterback. He's ridiculous. The talent that was on that field Saturday, just unreal. What a crazy game. And I get it. It's emotional. Those kind of games, man, they go back and forth. You almost hate to see somebody lose it. And it was. It was phenomenal. I mean, how about, like, obviously Penix was great, 256 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Dylan Johnson, the running back, 256 yards and 4 touchdowns. He had one long, like, 50-yard run. It was just awesome. Caleb Williams ended the game with 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was just offense. Just a lot of, if you like offense, then that was the game for you. So like I said, is this something where I would go, if the Broncos have the number one pick, don't take Caleb Williams because he cries? No.
Or just don't let his mom come to games.
Just don't let his mom come to games. Put her in a spot where he can't hug her.
Put her up with Taylor somewhere.
Put her way up there so then you don't have to, you're not even tempted. And then you can do that thing. I don't know. It's not the same thing, but it kind of reminded me of like what Tebow used to do. Tebow would always find the cameras, go completely away from his team, and then he would drop down and do the Tebowing thing. And I would always say, like, why doesn't he just drop down where he is and pray? Why doesn't he just do it right there? But no, I've got to clear out, make sure I'm completely in the view of the camera, and I'm not knocking Tim Tebow. I like the guy. I follow a lot of his stuff on social media. But that was something that kind of is like, why don't you just pray where you're standing? Why do you have to like walk out into the open and, oh, there's the cameras. Here, we're going to do it here. So that's what I looked at with Caleb. Separates from the team, jumps up into the stands, and the weeping right there, that's going to get all of the camera's attention. It's going to go 100% over to you.
Yeah, I don't know if he intended that to happen.
Maybe not.
He could maybe be more aware of, hey, I'm the starting quarterback for USC, Heisman Trophy winner. Maybe I should, maybe if I do, I want to really do this. I know my mom's right there. I want to go give her a hug, and I just want to cry right now, but, oh, there's cameras all around me. Maybe I should just, hey, mom, can you meet me down the hallway or something? Like, maybe could have done that, but also just coming off of an emotional thing like that, maybe you're not really thinking spatially like that.
Big Hub says, I cried after losing to Wyoming, but while talking to the cameras, you could see it on the internet back in 2019. And again, that's, you're talking, you're addressing the game. That's a brutal rivalry, and you're just upset. And I was talking to Jack Howell this morning. I was like, scheduling this showtime and everything for the Jack Howell show. And it basically, I was like, how are you? And he's like, I'm banged up and I'm pissed. That's what I got. I get it. You're either going to show that emotional, tears kind of side, or you're going to be very angry. I don't like what Big Hub saying he did. That seems like that kind of stuff happens all the time, and I never think twice about it. It's just the difference to me is jumping up into the stands, and now the cameras are on you, and we've got 30 seconds of just watching you sob. 18 minutes after the hour, I'm not going to cry about, basketball being back. Very excited about that. Very pumped up. Colorado State going up against Louisiana Tech to start their season tonight. We're going to talk to Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker. He is a Rams insider at RamNation.com. Lot of Rams love there, man. A lot of people go to that site. So we'll have Steve coming up on the program in just a bit. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Mr. 700-plus wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. CSU rocking and rolling tonight. We get a lot of basketball happening, but the Rams, I'm excited to see what they can do, and I'm pretty optimistic about Colorado State. They got Louisiana Tech coming to town tonight for the first game of the season. Steve Ivey joining us, the Swole Cracker from RamNation.com. Steve, you ready to rock and roll, man? It's basketball day.
Oh my gosh. This is, there's nothing better. I love all sports, but to me, there's nothing better than opening day of college basketball season. And so I always wish everybody, for me, this is a happy new year, Brady.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. We got so much action. It's going to be hard to keep it all straight for me, to be honest with you, but I know I'll be dialing in 8 o'clock tonight when CSU goes up against Louisiana Tech, and I know you put your podcast together and told us a little bit about the Bulldogs and what to expect. So before we get there, Steve, do we have the starting lineup now for sure? Do we know for sure what it's going to look like for Colorado State?
Yeah, I think that's been settled for a couple of weeks. Isaiah Stevens, obviously, at the point guard Josiah Strong, who's a fifth-year senior at the shooting guard, Neek Clifford, small forward, Joel Scott at the power forward, and Patrick Cartier at the center position. So those will be the top five, and we'll see a lot of Jalen Lake and as the first player off the bench as well.
So Jalen Lake's going to kind of be that big-time bench player that we can expect. Hopefully we can expect some big things from.
Yeah, and I think he'll have a great year. He started coming on last year, he'll get the equivalent of starter's minutes. He'll get plenty of minutes.
All right, Steve, so who else should we be looking out for? Obviously, we got the starting lineup. All those guys are studs. Jalen Lake, I'm really pumped to see what he's all about. Joe Palmer, some of these other guys. Tell us, like, how you think the minutes are really going to go. How deep are we going off this bench?
I think we'll see Joe Palmer as the first, other than Jalen Lake, he'll be the next wing coming off the bench. I think we'll see some of Javonte Johnson, a very talented transfer from New Mexico, who started 60 games in the last 2 years for the Lobos. And I think at the big man position, the backup, I think we're going to see freshman Rashawn Mbemba. I think he's the leader of the bigs ahead of Kyle Evans. And then we'll see some of freshman Kyan Evans at the guard position spelling Isaiah Stevens, but you don't expect to see much of Isaiah Stevens off the floor. He'll get his 35-plus minutes a game.
Steve, talk to us about Mbemba a little bit. There are a lot of strange, you know, eerily similar stuff compared to between him and David Roddy. There's a lot of things, man. He's wearing his old number, too. Our boy Kevin Lytle said the two of them kind of, they look a lot alike, too.
They actually do. Rashawn is a little taller, probably about 2 inches taller than Roddy, but the same kind of build, built like a rock. When I first saw Rashawn at the very first practice, I thought he looked a little further ahead of where Roddy was when Roddy showed up his freshman year. Obviously, part of that is the fact that Rashawn is...
All right, did we lose Steve? Steve, are you there? I think we lost him. Let's see if we could get him back on. Talking about this Rashawn Mbemba, 6'7", 250-pound freshman, and there are a lot of similarities, and I'm interested to see kind of how he adjusts to the play of you know, at this level, this college basketball level, too. I mean, in CSU, man, I mean, this team is at a position where they really think they can get right back on track. Steve, we lost you talking about Rashawn a bit and some of those similarities with he and David Roddy.
Yeah, Rashawn, a little bigger, a little older, a little more mature, probably a little stouter on the inside than Roddy was when he first showed up. But he'll be, I think, he can extend his range, and he can definitely shoot from the perimeter. But I think we're going to be looking at him as more of a backup to play defense, grab rebounds, score inside this year, and give some good solid minutes in backup to Pat Cartier.
We got Steve Ivey on the program, does his podcast, his blog, all of it you can check out at ramnation.com. Pumped for this game tonight. Tell us about, you know, a couple of other guys on this bench that we, you know, young guys that we're looking at that might come in and make an impact. How about a guy like Kyan Evans? Like, do we think he's going to be an immediate kind of mover and shaker for Colorado State?
He's young, obviously. He's a true freshman. Missouri Gatorade Player of the Year, leading his high school to a state championship. So a very talented player, 6'2", about 170. Needs to develop a little bit physically. But the first time I saw him in a practice, the one thing that stood out for me was he has very, very good instincts for a young player, and he's also a very good perimeter shooter. So I think we'll see him contribute. I don't think we'll see him get a lot of minutes, Brady, to be honest with you, just because. But he's learning from a master. It's going to be a great season for him. Unfortunately, Tavy Jackson has been injured and sick and hasn't been able to play, and I think we're looking at Tavy maybe even going so far as redshirting this
wow.
year after contributing last year. So we'll see what happens with Tavy. But for now, Kyan is the backup, and he will get minutes. There's no doubt about it.
Steve Ivey joining us. Steve, talk to us about Louisiana Tech. The Rams are, according to ESPN, 9.5-point favorites. Personally, I would advise anybody stay away from opening night and early season stuff because you just don't know. But CSU should get the dub tonight, should start the season out 1-0.
Yeah, you hope so. You know, last year the Rams opened with a team that certainly wasn't as good as Louisiana Tech is, a team Gardner-Webb, and they needed a last-second shot from Isaiah Rivera to win the game. So you never know what's going to happen in the first game, like you said. I wouldn't bet on anything. But a good team from Conference USA, a very solid mid-major conference. They had a Final Four team last year in Fort Florida Atlantic. They had the two finalists of the NIT, and they had the CBI winner. Louisiana Tech had a brand-new coach last year, Talvin Hester. Very strong background. They're a very good defensive team, very physical team, and they're a relatively new team this year. They lost a bunch of players. They have one really good player coming back, Isaiah Crawford, who's the preseason conference USA Player of the Year. So we'll be seeing a game where we have two preseason conference players of the year in Crawford and Isaiah Stevens. And ironically enough, both of them are from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So Isaiah's from Dallas-Fort Worth, obviously know how to play basketball. They did add a very good transfer named Daniel Bacho, who came from Texas Tech after spending 2 years there. But he hasn't been approved yet in terms of eligibility, in terms of his transfer. It would be a second transfer. And so it looks like he's not playing. With him, they're a different team. They'd be a great defensive team. They'll still be a very good challenge for the Rams tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. For those of you not going to the game, you can stream the game at the Mountain West Network, themw.com. It's where I'll be watching the game tonight. Steve, hey, you got double dip tonight, too. You've got the women's game in action before, and they got a pretty good number four on their team as well.
Oh, McKenna Hawkshield, an incredible player in the preseason Mountain West Player of the Year on the women's side as well. So we have two elite point guards who both were number four. The girls are going to be, I should say women. I get Brohard always kills me if I call them the girls. the women, I got to tell you, they're going to be darn good this year. Ryan has had a lot of success in that program. It's been a while since he's won his four consecutive Mountain West Conference championships in the regular season. But this is a team that's going to challenge at the top, led by the incredible McKenna Hawkshield. She's listed at 5'5 in the program. She really goes about 5'2.5. Fearless, unafraid to go into the paint and go against big players. She can shoot from the perimeter. She can distribute the ball. She's every bit as much of an as Isaiah Stevens on the women's side for CSU.
Should be a great night tonight. You know, getting this season started off with the CSU women's team tipping off at 5:30, and then the men's side of things around 8:00. Steve, my man, I'm excited to see what this team's all about. If they're going to be as good as a lot of us have kind of been advertising. I think that starting unit is going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I you know, the chemistry, I've been surprised, you know, just watching practices and watching the inter-squad scrimmage, and then you hear about the closed-door scrimmages. The chemistry is surprisingly good. None of these players are selfish me players. They're very much we players. They share the ball, even the bigs. The bigs aren't afraid to share it, but the thing that I'm really looking forward to tonight, Brady, is the improvement that this team has to take to be able to compete at the top of the Mountain West. We're going to have to see a lot better performance on the defensive side. And it takes a little bit of time, but what I've seen early on, the returns are good in terms of how connected they are defensively, how assertive they are playing passing lanes. They're very, very much an improvement from what I've seen over last year. So that's what I'll be looking forward to tonight. Is I don't worry so much about the offense. I really want to see them defend and rebound. I think that's where they really need to make the jump this year.
Steve, where can our listeners go and check out all your stuff, man? Your blog, your podcast, everything you're putting together for Colorado State Hoops.
My blog is at CrackersCollegeHoops.com. www.wordpress.com. I will be writing a game summary. Hopefully get it done late tonight. If not, we'll get it done early tomorrow morning. And then they can find me on Spotify for my podcast at Crackers College Hoops on Spotify. I'll be doing more regular podcasts. I've been doing one a week. I'll be getting into multiples a week, doing game previews and stuff like that. I'll do one on Thursday or Friday for the Friday night game against Wright State. I'm really looking forward to that game as well. Wright State is another very good team, picked to win the Horizon League. I'll be doing the preview for that on like I said, Thursday or Friday on my at my podcast site on Spotify.
I love it, Steve. Appreciate your insight as always, my man. And we'll see what the Rams, both men's and women's teams, can do tonight.
Very good, Brady. Thanks. And congratulations, by the way, on hitting your Thursday night. Mr. Thursday Night is back. Not so good over the weekend, but I'm excited about Mr. Thursday night, and I think you're going to finish out the season on a big streak.
I love it. I was hoping nobody would look at the picks from the weekend, but yeah, that was a brutal. That weekend might, this last weekend might do me in, man. That might be the one that knocked me out of this thing.
You know, I got to tell you, can I tell you, you got time for a quick funny story?
Yeah.
I was walking the dog yesterday, and I ran into a woman who has a dog that my dog likes, and she's about as old as me. And, you know, when it comes to CSU-CU rivalries, no one can top her in terms of her hatred for CU. And the first thing she had to tell me on Sunday morning was how she stayed up late to watch CU lose to Oregon State and how happy she was. And I was just laughing, but that's the nature of the beast. I think a lot of us are down after the CSU loss in the border war for Wyoming. These rivalries are really, really fun around here. It was a tough loss on the weekend, but you know what? There's always next year.
There's always next year. And for football, you know, you got three games left that you might be able to win. You win them all and, yeah, still go bowling. I mean, that would be one of the goals for this football team. So we shall see. Steve, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You bet, Brady. Always glad, always happy talking to you. Have a great week.
You too, my man. Steve Ivey does a great job. Like, he gives you the deep insight, the X's and O's. He is a basketball guy, just through and through. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you guys when it comes to making sure that heater is rolling. Maybe you need something new, a new system entirely. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. All right, let's get to some texts here. Eastside Chris. Brady, that's a rough one. Maybe there was a family crisis about Caleb Williams. Have we heard that?
I'm not going to sit down until you say something nice to me for once in your life.
Now everybody thinks
I'm kicking him while he's down.
I'm just reading the text. I was done with it, but now we're bringing it back up. Dixon, well, I mean, okay, let's be clear. If there was some kind of family thing, somebody was sick or died or something sad like that, full pass.
Sure.
Full pass, 100%. Is that true?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. So that's where I'm saying, like, I've cried hard before. I have. I've had tragedy strike. And that's where I reserve that when I'm that. You know, and again, I'm a D1 athlete. I don't. But, I mean, dude, he's looked like he's crying like somebody did die. And that's the thing. It's like, it's still a football game at the end of the day.
I think every man will cry a little differently if their mom's there. You know, if you're with your team, it's like, yeah, I'm good, man. But it's like your mom comes, hey, buddy, are you okay? That was a tough game. It's just,
really though?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Dixon says it could
be. Did you see that video of Donna Kelsey after the Super Bowl, where she goes up to Travis and she's like, "Woohoo, Travis! The biggest game of their lives!" And she goes over to Jason and he's just weeping, and she's like, "It's okay, Jason."
I don't know.
That's what they're there
but see,
for?
Like, but see, that's a different thing. That's still mom coming up to you on the field and crying. This is Caleb Williams jumping up into the stands.
Oh, she's like front row.
I know.
It's
but
not
it's
like he
different.
Went up to the upper deck and
it's
like
different.
Hey mom, you're in the nosebleeds. Give me a minute.
If he was just hugging her and then we saw his head like, you know, doing the weeping thing, I think it'd be a little different. Something about jumping up, leaning in, covering your face.
Because it didn't look right. It didn't look like a manly cry.
It didn't look like a manly cry. Dixon, it could be a red flag. Does he have the emotional and mental stability to deal with adversity? I think it's a fair point. Well, we all know Dixon has no soul. So crying to him is like, dude, come on. I'm sad that he and I are on the same page on this. But...
you can cry. Just look like a man when you do it.
Just do it different. Do it the way I want you to do it, all right? If you're going to cry.
Do it like they do in the movies where there's just a single tear in slow
yes.
motion.
Just a little, like, no Sean Moreno national anthem.
Oh, gosh.
Those, like,
waterfall tears.
Epic tears that I don't even know were real. They just, how did he make those tears, man?
CGI.
They looked CGI. They did. Angel was probably crying just as hard yesterday morning at about 10:30. Oh, man.
I don't cry over football games. I get pissed off and watch football the rest of the day.
How you doing?
It.
How you doing?
It's what it is. It's a loss. It's tough. Move on.
I'm not laughing.
Don't apologize.
I'm not
I can't
laughing
stand.
At
don't
you.
Apologize because my
no,
football team lost.
I was apologizing that it seemed like I was laughing at
no,
you.
No, no, no. Please don't apologize if my team lost. It's a football game. It's... actually made my Sunday kind of peaceful. So
you didn't watch any?
No, because I woke up
football?
At 7 a.m. to watch that.
Yeah, yeah, well, bummer.
I'm done with international games. Tired of it.
You guys do not like my take on this. Brady, is Sean trying to prove he's a better coach than Hackett? Oh, a little Broncos stuff. All right, they're back at it. Basically, using the same roster. Dion went after ringers to have more wins. Does that make him a better coach than last year? So, okay, I see what you're trying to do, you said, Chris. You're trying to say Sean Payton basically not trading guys and saying, this is the roster and I'm going to do it. He's basically saying, I'm going to do what Nathaniel Hackett couldn't do with this same group. And that will prove that I'm better than him.
Mm-hmm.
What Dion is doing, he doesn't have the same group. So he does that prove that he's better than Carl Durant? I get where you're going, he said, Chris. We are on the same side here. No, Carl Durrell, I liked Carl Durrell as a human being, but he was terrible for Colorado. The Buffs have won 4 games. So Dion's group versus Carl Durrell's group, one game and
Durrell,
the other one 4.
This is about Peyton and Sanders.
So he's saying, is he comparing the two between
Payton
and Sanders?
I think Sean Payton is doing what I wanted Sanders to do, was coach the team that you have and then get your guys.
But
obviously it's different, but...
But see, I don't like...
I think the essence of
coaching...
I don't
want him to do that. I want him to get the best players on the roster that he can get, whether that's through recruiting or transferring. I don't care how you get it done. I honestly... It's going to sound bad. Cover your ears, Colorado people. I don't care if UNC or CSU or CU wins with guys from Greeley and Fort Collins and Denver or guys from California, I could care less. Do I root for guys that we hear on Preps Radio? Sure. But at the end of the day, I don't care how you win. Just go win. I don't care who's playing for you or how you got them to your school. Just go win. That's where I sit with it.
I think it's a question of confidence in your coach. Now, this could blow up in Sean Payton's face, but he's going to stand on his word that, hey, I know what I said about that guy. I'm going to show you I can do better with the same stuff than that guy. And he's kind of doing it for the most part. Russell, at least, is better. Sanders, it's kind of like he wasn't going in comparing himself to Durrell. It was going in, I'm doing whatever I want because I'm here, and we're kind of starting over. So here's 50 of my guys. We're going to have football. It's going to be great, just not later on in the year. Just don't look at the last 6 months.
Still look, 3 games left. Still an opportunity to get into a bowl game, albeit a long shot. Tanner texting in, coming from someone who had to cut off his crying when my wife was walking down the aisle. Bad look by Caleb Williams. And I saw Tanner
what
cry.
What if Tanner went up to his mom and cried on Saturday?
Oh, I'm sure he did. Tanner's a crier. I mean, he's a crier. That's not a bad thing.
No, we're around the office. He's Mr. Tanner. Let's make sales
him,
guy.
Let's go make him cry after this. What do you think?
Just stand out of his office and point at him.
Just say something mean about one of his cows, dude. That will get him going.
Just stand and point at him. Just,
yeah.
Like, what are you guys laughing at? I saw that picture of him at the Grit game with Moo Moo.
Was he crying there?
He had a twinkle in his eye. His other cows might get jealous.
I thought that was the thing. What are you doing with Moo Moo, man?
Who's she?
Yeah.
He. I don't know what he is.
I don't know. It's a cow of some kind. It's a gritty cow.
Oh, because he wears
cow.
Clothes? He's better than me?
Eastside Chris, getting the best five-star players on your team makes you a good GM. You still need to coach. Well, and there was questionable play calling and all that stuff, but the idea with primetime is that he's hiring an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, and you two are going to run. You're going to make the calls. And I hired you. I'm empowering you, but I'm the GM. That's what Ed McCaffrey wanted to do at UNC.
Well, I think Hackett did that with Rosberg. And now
Coach.
Sanders had to fall in and say, hey, that didn't work, but I'm going to try it here at college.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a coach. Shermer, you're a Bronco guy. Come on.
Do you think that college football could be one like that? Where, and I'm not just saying primetime, but any guy comes in and he's more of a GM kind of guy, and he's like, I'm just going to hire coordinators. That's the tough part. What's your specialty? Like, what is primetime's specialty? Is he an offensive-minded guy or a defensive-minded guy?
I want to say defensive backs, but that's just based his off son's his playing career. His son's a quarterback.
Right.
His other son's a safety. Travis Hunter's kind of like the adopted son of his. Yeah. So
the tough part about that philosophy is that you're going to be a GM is you better hope your coordinators roll with you for a while, and you better hope when you replace them you're getting basically copy and paste. You're getting the same kind of guy.
And how do you get those other guys to replace them?
That's the thing.
You got to be a good head coach in your own right.
Like how much, and yeah, primetime knows X's and O's and stuff, but how much in-game management and things like that does he really know?
I don't know.
Does he know?
Sunglasses on or off?
Does he know about play calling, like in certain plays and designing plays? I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know, but his headset's nice.
His headset is nice. 51 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number two. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave real quick?
Caleb Williams. Just listen to Tom Hanks there, or JT. No crying. Okay, there's crying, but not that kind of crying. It's
Man
different.
Cries.
It's different crying.
Minimum two tears.
Is it a little too... what Dixon said here is true. I mean, when you look at it and say, is it something where you would worry about his emotional ability or stability to handle adversity?
No.
Because I guarantee you, Angel, Super Bowl's different. But you lose week 4 or week 7 to the Raiders,
I don't think
nobody wants to see the quarterback crying.
No, because, okay, you had your third loss. All right, your playoff chances are still alive. USC's hopes of playoffs or championships are done.
Theirs were done against Arizona. Should have cried
yeah,
then.
Yeah, when you had your second loss. But also, you could have played spoiler for Washington. You could play spoiler for Oregon.
Yeah, you can. You still that's the thing. You still got two. They still have two games left, right? Because they played. Do they have three games left? There's three games left for most people, but I thought I looked at it. I don't know. It's whatever.
Doesn't matter. He's going to cry about it anyway.
He's going to cry about it. You're going to cry about it, Caleb. I don't mind emotion. I'm not making fun. I'm not, like, it's not funny to me. I just went, That's like a limelight kind of thing. You went away from the team and jumped up into the stands and mom came down and you cried and you wept and all that stuff. Like, does it make me not want to have him in a Broncos uniform? No. I absolutely want to see him play for the Broncos. I just don't like the whole he wanted ownership thing, which is not happening. That's the bigger red flag. Final hour of the show coming up. We're going to revamp the Coach Prime discussion. Thoughts there? Is he still, do you believe he's the man for the job? Here we are talking about it in his first season and he's 4-5. That's unique. We'll be right back.